Shalom, everybody. We're continuing with Rav Kook's commentary, Ein Aya, on the Agadita, the Midrashic aspect of the Babylonian Talmud, Talmud Bavli, and Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet. And we're still in the story about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Quick review, by the way, before I forget, we're skipping a couple of paragraphs here. Rav Kook spoke about the advantages of being in solitary confinement in the cave and being away from society in order to raise your spiritual level temporarily, and that's what we're going to learn about today. But I don't think anybody here is going to go out to go back to yeshiva full-time, so I don't think it's that practical. We're going to do today Piska Eresh Ayin Dalet. We skipped like three or four paragraphs. And just a quick review of the Gemara, Shalom Yuriel. The Gemara is referring to Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai spoke bad against the Romans, and the Romans heard about it, and they were after him. They put a death warrant on his head, and he went to hide in the Beit Midrash, and then he went to hide in the cave. And that's where the Gemara gets up to. Let's pick it up. That'd be top paragraph. I'll go into share screen. Here we go. Where is it? Here we go. Okay. Etru Tresar Shani B'marta. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, they sat for 12 years learning in the cave, hiding from the Romans. Ata Eliyahu. Eliyahu Navi, as if it were, that's like a sort of a spiritual figure. We don't know how literal to take these things, but someone came by the Pitcha de Marta, by the entrance to the cave, and Amari declared, Man lo de le Bar Yochai de mit Kesar u batil gezerte. Who will tell Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that the Caesar has died, and that all of his decrees and the death penalty for all those who... He issued death penalties. It's annulled, and you can leave. Nafku chazuinchi de kakarvi vizari. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son left the cave, and they saw people plowing and planting. Amar minichin chaye olam voskin bechaye sha'ah. How can they be so foolish to leave the eternal life and deal with temporal life? All right, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, we managed for 12 years in the cave, living miraculously on carobs and a spring of water, and so could you, and so could you, and so can all these people. And they were so angry, kol makom shenotnim enehem miyad nisraf. Anything that they looked at, that they set their eyes upon, went up in flames. Yatzta bat kol ve'amra lehem, a voice came out from heaven and said, Lachrivo lami yatzatem? Said to Rabbi Shimon and his son, what, you left the cave to destroy my world, God says? Chizru lamaratchem, go back to your cave, who needs you? God obviously is not very happy with this idea, this righteous indignation, that they're burning up, Rabbi Shimon and his son are burning up the physical world. He says, go back to your cave. Hadurazel, etvu tresar yarchishata. They sat another 12 months. First time was 12 years, now another 12 months. Amri, and then they turned to Hashem, and they said, Mishpat rishaim begeenom yud bet chodesh. Even the punishment of evil people in hell is just 12 months. And again, we've been sitting 12 months. In other words, could you please let us out? Yatzta bat kol v'amrat su'umi maratchem. A voice came out from heaven and said to Rabbi Shimon and his son, you can leave your cave. Now, the obvious question that Rav Kook is going to deal with is why, if Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai are so angry at the physical world, and have no patience for people plowing and planting, why do they want to leave the cave? If they see the cave as some kind of ideal, and they see the physical world just as something negative, so why do they want to leave? That's the question that Rav Kook is going to deal with. All right, they turn to Hashem and they say, we have served 12 months, and even 12 months in hell, you finish your sentence. So can you please let us out? Why do they want to leave? Rav Kook writes as follows. Hirgishu be'atzmam, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son, they felt for themselves, shem tzrichim achshav litromem, that they have to go up ad otam ma'ala shel kirvata chokhma elohit, to go up to that closeness to the godly wisdom that we learn in Torah, that they were learning in the Kabbalistic studies, ad sheim kol ramamutam v'tviyoteihem agdolot, that together with all of their greatness and their spiritual demands, im kol zeh, yum le'e ratzon me'achayim ve'asukim b'tikuno. What they really wanted is to go back to the world to fix the world. Even when they looked at the plow and the man planting and plowing and they went up in flames, their goal was to fix the world. כמו שאנו רואים שחפץ השם יתברך הוא, חפץ השם יתברך הוא בהכשרו על פי מידתו. And we know for a fact, and Rav Shimon bar Yochai got the message very clearly, that when Hashem sent a voice from heaven saying, what, you left the cave to destroy my world? Go back to the cave. God obviously is not happy with the actions of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son. And that's why he sent him back to the cave. After 12 months, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai learned his lesson. And he's asking for another chance. Hashem, let us out. And we want to fix the world. But as we'll see, bidarchei noam, more pleasantly, not with righteous indignation, to just yell and rant and rave. There's a famous Igeret where Rav Kook writes about the mitzvah of hocheach tocheach et amitecha, that there's a mitzvah to rebuke if you see a Jew doing something wrong, yet we have an obligation to rebuke him. Rav Kook writes, but if you yell at him, and you just vent your temper at him, and you throw rocks at him and say, Shabbos, Shabbos, it's like yelling at him in a foreign language, which he doesn't understand. Right? The goal of rebuking is to get the person to act differently. But if you yell at him in French, and he doesn't understand French, or if you're yelling and ranting and raving, it might be good for your ulcer, or to get it out of your system, but you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of rebuking, because you have to do it patiently. Rav Kook goes on, Piska Bet, Omnam, Lezeh, in order to fix the world properly, Hem tzrichim la'achlif kama inyanim me'etzem teva nafsham. They have to change some essential things in their very nefesh. There's something wrong in their personality which needs to be changed. Nefesh isn't exactly a neshama. In this context, it's sort of a personality or midot. Rav Yaakov Filber, who put in the footnotes here, points us to the Rambam, which, if you have the printed page, I put it as number 2, but then I added another source, which now is number 2, so I just put it with an asterisk. You'll see the Rambam in the letters of the Rambam, here, in right after Bet, where I'm highlighting, where the Rambam writes about a big scandal, which we won't go into the details. The Rambam got involved in appointing the new head of a yeshiva in Babylon, in Bavel. Remember, the Rambam was in Egypt, and he's talking about the other side of the world, as far as they were concerned. Ve'afilu, so the Rambam admits that he made a mistake. Ve'afilu hayiti ani amishtabesh. He said, a terrible mistake was wrong. And even if it was me who made that mistake and got the scandal and tempers flaring, I don't claim that when I got involved in this scandal that I achieved my spiritual perfection. We all know that spiritual perfection is a slow, gradual climb. V'lo she'ani lo ta'iti me'olam. The Rambam is saying, I'm not saying that I never make mistakes. Adarabba, to the contrary. Kol ma she'nitba'er li chilufo, he says, I have often made mistakes, and whenever, he doesn't say often, but he said, I clearly have made mistakes, and whenever I see that I was wrong, chazarti mimenu tamid, I always admitted that I was wrong. By the way, part of the manuscripts of the second edition of the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, his classic work, we have today in the National Library. And there are actual corrections that the Rambam corrected from his first edition in the second edition. Now, all of the good editions of the Rambam today use the corrected edition. But what happened was when somebody like the Rambam puts out a book, so many people bought it that, and it was printed and copied and printed again, and a lot of those original mistakes that the Rambam admitted to changing his mind, the Rambam could not take back. So thank God today, poskim know to learn in, there's the Rambam Frankel, there's the Rambam of Mosad Rav Kook, which use the later editions. But we know for a fact what the Rambam here is saying is correct. He says that when I came across something which is a mistake, I always correct it. Bechol davar michiburi in or chiburai, in all of my books that I wrote, umitivi, and also in my personality. And this is something very, very difficult. Some of you may have heard that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that it's more difficult to change one character trait than to finish all of the Shas. And we all know that it's difficult to change character traits. The Rambam says that is what must be done, and that's what I do. And getting back to Rav Kook, that's what he says, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son recognized that there was some kind of character trait that needed, that was in their nature, this righteous indignation that they vented their temper on these people who were power and planning. They were wrong. They admitted, they accepted God's rebuke, and now they want to change. And that's what they did during the 12 months, according to Rav Kook. That he said, now that after God sent him back to the cave, they understand that the way to fix the world is to raise the world, not to burn it. To raise people to their spiritual level, to the level that every person is capable of doing. Obviously, everyone has different kelim, but the Rambam says everybody could be like Moshe Rabbeinu on their own level. V'lo lishof la'mapecha pitomit. Here's the punchline, where Rav Kook is saying, do not think that you can make a sudden revolution and change the world. The world does not work with sudden revolutions. She'i efshar la b'lo churban ha'olam adaraba. That when somebody tries to make a sudden revolution, he does more harm than he does good. Now this, who's around here? I see Yehoshua, of the people who have been studying with us for 7-8 years now. About 7 years ago, we learned a Piskan Rav Kook that I brought for you in number 5. You know what? First, let's see source number 4. This is a classic quote from Rav Kook that we've mentioned in the past, but it's always good to see it in its context. Source number 4. Rav Kook writes as follows in Orot HaTchiya. Over. Yeah. Aval achshav. He says, now that we are in the midst of coming back to the land of Israel, gathering the exiles, Shuv anu kruim ligashma b'chaim. We are once again called to realize the ideals of Jewish spirituality, the original Torah in the land of Israel, in the state of Israel, with the people of Israel. Zeu dvar hatriya. This is the national revival. And then he adds a very important point. Im chalakim rabim meistafut chizyonotenu yitkatnu bekamutam bipagsham imamitziyut. If some of the branches of our dream of rebuilding the third commonwealth and being an orla goyim, a light to the nation, setting up the ideal Jewish state, Rav Kook says, when our dreams, the dreams of the prophets of the Torah, meets up with reality, some of these dreams seem to shrink a little, right? The state of Israel is definitely not the way we would like it to be, and neither is the army of Israel, and neither is the economy of Israel. Bereshit Darkenu, if on the beginning of our journey to revive the holy nation in the land of Israel, if things are not as great as we dreamed, Ein Ra, it's not bad. Hamitziut Ein La Knafayim Mehirim Ka'ele Asher Lechizayon. This is a quotable quote where Rav Kook says that reality does not have wings to fly as fast as our dreams, as our visions. In other words, both dreams and reality are both very important. You can't have dreams without wanting to implement them. Somebody who's just a dreamer, like a space cadet, and he doesn't want to implement his dreams, he's not really idealistic. A real idealistic person wants to bridge the gap between dream and reality, between ratsui and matsui, between what is and what we want. And this is the classic climb of evolution that mankind is constantly undergoing, that Rav Kook mentions in almost every paragraph that we learn together. The idea of not jumping stages is also found in Chazon HaTzimchonut, in source number 3, where Rav Kook deals with the ideal of vegetarianism. Now, it's important to point out, Rav Kook was not a vegetarian. As a matter of fact, if you ask me personally what my favorite food is, I will say steak. But it's important to know where the goal is. And Rav Kook writes as follows. Ela shirata chokhma ha'elohit she'adam nafal mimatzavo ha'musari. God, in his infinite wisdom, saw in the generation of the Mabul, of the flood, that mankind fell very severely from his spirituality. Ve'ad she'yale b'ma'ala zu, until man climbs his way back to the way where we were in the Garden of Eden, she'yitna'er, to shake off our mistakes, v'yavola karamu sarit amitit, and to get to a proper level of morality, ada eta musharava neorahi, until that enlightened time, en otahama ala musarit, shilakarat mishpatam shobale chayim ruuyalo klal. If a person hasn't finished his obligations to do good to their family, to their community, to their yeshuv, to their country, to Am Yisrael, to mankind. After you've finished making sure that we don't talk Lashon Hara, and we don't hurt anybody, we don't offend anybody, Jew, Gentile, then Rav Kook says, then we have risen to a level that we can focus on also being good to the animals. Of course we want to be good to the animals. We want to be good to the vegetable world as well. But the point here is, don't jump stages. וכמשפט כל מי שקופץ ליטול את השם להתחסד במידת חסידות הבלתי עולמתו. This is what happened to everybody. Notice, Rav Kook is saying it's 100%. When a person bites off more than they can chew, and they jump and artificially rise to act as if they're on this level spiritually, when they're really still down here, Rav Kook says, you don't have an ice cube's chance in hell of succeeding. And it's going to cause more harm than good. Why? Because spirituality has to be real. It can't be artificial. Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and with Torah and with truth has to be so real, there is no room for fakers or imposters. If a person's following halacha, so that's not faking, even if it's external. If a person didn't wear a kippah, and now he wants to wear a kippah. Or, say, a woman did not observe the laws of tzniut, of modesty, and now she wants to. That is fine. That is not doing something arrogant. It's not doing something artificial. Even though, at first, if you wear a hat, and you are not used to wearing a hat, so at first it feels artificial. But we believe that the Torah is telling us things that are in our natural interest. So even if the first couple of days, I don't know, I never was a married woman, how long it takes to get used to a head covering. I don't know if it's a week or a month, but however long it takes, yeah, at the beginning it does feel artificial. But that's a halakha. That's not jumping stages. That is just doing what we have to do. On the other hand, when talking about Midat Chasidut, Rav Kook, by the way, here, and also in other places, is clearly referring to the communist revolution. You have to remember that Rav Kook and all the Jews of Russia were very burned, seriously, by the communist revolution, who were so many Jews, who were all brought up religious, all of a sudden left the religion of Torah, of Judaism, for the religion of Marx, for the religion of socialism. And they all believed, hey, from now on, there's going to be equality, and there's not going to be anti-Semitism. And Rav Kook already saw the immorality that was being done in the name of morality in the communist revolution. And George Orwell saw this in Animal Farm, and we all remember the glasnost, where in Tavshin Memtet in 1989, it got to a point where the Soviet Union collapsed. Why? Because it was a bluff. Everybody knew that there wasn't real equality. But what happened is, if people jump to act as if we are in ready for paradise and everyone is equal, but we're not ready for it yet, that's going to do more harm than good. And Rav Kook writes about this, and this is the paragraph that we learned several years ago, in source number 5, in Ein Ayah, on Masechet Shabbat, Perek Aleph Piska Lamed Bet, source number 5, where the Gemara reads as follows, Vama Rabbi Machzia, this is Masechet Brachot, Wadaf, I don't remember. Right, if all of the oceans were dio, ink. By the way, if you think you know what the Gemara is going to say, you're in for a surprise, because there is a similar Gemara which we say in Akdamot. But here it's talking about something else. It says, if all of the oceans were ink, ve'agamim kumusim, and the reeds would be pens, ve'shamayim yiriot, and all of the heavens, all the skies, would be paper, ve'chol bnei adam lavlarim, and all of us would be scribes, and we would write day and night, and we just keep writing and writing and writing and writing, en maspikin lichtov chalala shel reshut. We cannot fathom the spheres of government. It's not talking about God. It's talking about governments. Micra, where do we learn this out? From a pasuk in Proverbs, Mishlei 25. Shamayim larom, va'aretz la'omek, the heavens are so high, and the land is way down. V'lev melachim ein cheker. But the hearts of kings are even deeper, are even wider. In other words, if you think that you know a better way to run the country, and you know better than anyone, first you need a little humility. Sidrei ha-chevra enoshit hem shalshelet gedola. The ways of society are very complicated. They're like cogs in a wheel, that one thing turns another, that turns another. V'apratim rabim, there are so many details. You know how difficult it is to be prime minister? How much more so to be king? Right? Today, so we have, in a democracy, you have the minister of the treasurer, and the minister of education, and the minister of finance, and the minister of bitachon, of security, and the minister, who knows, I think now that there were something like 20 ministers in the government, 30, right? About 30 ministers in the government. Each one has his division. In the olden days, when there was a king, of course he had advisors, but he was in charge of everything. And what the Gemara is saying, according to Rav Kook, is don't think that you can run the country better than the king. You have no idea how complicated it is. Al kein ein lemaher litparetz laros sidrei ha-chevra medinit. Don't think that a little book, or even a large book, by Karl Marx can change society for the better. Adrabba, jump down to the end of the paragraph. Yigarem al yedeze kilkul rav biyeter hasdarim arabim ha-nealimim einav. I remember when we learned this 7-8 years ago, Avi Shechtman was in the shiur, and he comes very often still, and he mentioned he grew up in the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, and he said that with all the terrible things that were in Tsarist Russia, and people were suffering, and there were pogroms, and there was anti-Semitism, he said, as somebody who lived there and heard a lot from his parents and their friends, communist Russia was a lot worse than Tsarist Russia. They did a lot more evil. And even if they did it in the name of equality or socialism, it's still evil. Yigal Amir, he was a 22-year-old kid who thought that by firing a couple of bullets at the prime minister, he would save the country of Israel. He didn't ask any rabbi. He didn't ask a posek. On his own, he decided he knows better than anyone. And he caused a lot more harm than good. And we're still suffering to this day for the anti-religious and all, a lot of the terrible, and the whole idea of killing a fellow Jew and being on the verge of anarchy. And by the way, the same thing that's going on today with Bagatz, with the Israeli Supreme Court, we have to keep this in mind. Because what Rav Kook is telling us is that, yes, of course changes have to be made. But don't be like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, who think that they can make overnight changes. Okay, we've been 12 years in the cave. Let's go and let's fix society. You and me will change the world. Of course it's good to want to change the world. And it's natural for young people especially to want to change the world. The famous song of Arik Einstein, Ani ve'ata nishaneh et ha'olam. Amru et ze kodem lefanai, lo mishaneh. Right? Every generation says, we really are going to change the world. And every generation should and does change the world a little. But don't think that it is bang and you can fix all of society. Revolutions cannot be sudden. The same thing with education. Whether it be educating our children, educating in schools, it doesn't work in zbeng vigamarnu. Everything is a process. And this is directly connected with what I brought for you from Orot HaKodesh that we mentioned in the past, and here's a good time to see it inside. Where's Orot HaKodesh? I brought it before. Oh, here's source number 2 in my edition. I don't think you have it. Rav Kook writes as follows. Orot HaKodesh, page Tavkuf Lamed Chet. 538. Malach ha-machshava shel hitpatchut, the modern concept of evolution, shenitparsama b'chol hasderot l'raglei limudei ha-teva chadashim, because Darwin published his writings, and today everyone is excited about evolution and how the world developed through evolution. Astama pecharaba, this made a very big revolution. The evolution brought a revolution in the way we look at the world. Bechuga machshavot aragilot, this is true throughout the regular academic world. Lo etzel yechides gula, but this was always known by those who learned Kabbalistic idea. We always knew in Judaism that the world is based on evolution, of gradual trial and error. Ba'alei ha-deya va'igayon, people who are intellectual and have learned Torah studies, she-me'olam istaklu b'sidrei hishtalshelut dargaim, that we in Kabbalah, we always looked at the world as gradual stages. What are the 10 sefirot about? Gradual 10 different levels. How did God create the world? The 10th level, then the 9th level, then the 8th. And we mentioned this, Davka Sefirat HaOmer, that we're counting now. We all know that there are 49 days, and there it refers to the 7 bottom spheres of the Kabbalah. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod. But it's not just Chesed. There is, the first day is Chesed Shebechesed, and then Gvura Shebechesed, and then Tiferet Shebechesed. And then every day you have 10 levels of the first sphere, then 10 levels of the second sphere, then 10 levels of the third sphere, and the same thing as we want to climb back to our spirituality, we have to take it step after step. There's a famous song that the young kids sing in the youth movements and in the yeshivas, that it's really a paraphrase of what Rav Kook is saying here. Am ha-netzach lo mefached miderech aruka, that the eternal people is not scared of a long journey. We have patience. Of course I would like it to happen for the world to be perfected in my day, just as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai wanted to after 12 years in the cave. And we would like the improvement to be like this and not like this. But again, lamtziyut ein knafayim, reality does not have wings. You need patience, and you can't have artificial jumping, because again, it's artificial. And what happens sometimes with balei tshuva, if they start accepting upon themselves extra chumrot, very quickly they realize it's not me. It's not real. It's not Torah. And they could junk the whole thing. And that is why what Rav Kook is saying, also regarding vegetarianism. If a person is spiritually ready for vegetarianism, then that's great. But one of the reasons why God told the people after the Mabul that they're allowed to eat meat, because Chazal tell us that the problem with the generation of the Mabul was that they were eating people and they were sleeping with animals, bestiality. And what Rav Kook explains is that when God allowed man to eat meat, he is showing man the gap. Animals, you eat. You don't marry them. People, you marry. You don't eat. People, you have to love. You have to have patience. It's good to love animals also. But first, when God told us that we can eat meat, he's showing us that you have to treat people like people. Don't think that you could treat animals like people. People are people. Animals are animals. Don't jump stages. Getting back to Ein Ayah, so Rav Kook finishes off. Don't go for mapecha pitomit, for sudden revolutions. She'i efshar la below churban ha'olam, because inevitably they always bring destruction and cause more harm than good. Al kein yichdu l'ze oto hazman. Why did Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Rabbi Shimon, what did they do in those 12 additional months? Litaken, they worked on themselves, litaken et hanefashot, to fix their character traits, to learn tolerance, to learn patience. mitzad kilkulim anidvakim be'etzem tivam, so that they should, like we saw in the Rambam, change my nature. Lachshiram litzad atov b'shinui atzmiutam, and that is why after those 12 months, additional 12 months, they turned to Hashem and said, God, let us out. We are now ready to fix the world, but in a patient and gradual way. L'metziut en knafayim. Reality does not have wings like dreams do.